Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in our epistle text that his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. And that should be our prayer for ourselves on this day. That God's grace to us should not be in vain. And in order for us to consider what Paul was driving at, let's take a look at our epistle text for today. And the first thing that Paul does in our epistle is to review the facts and the content of the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. And then he says that we are to keep in memory what he preached. And then he tells us, what are those facts? Number one, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That is, the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would die for the sins of the world. And then the Messiah actually died on the cross for the sins of the world, just like the Bible said. And then it is emphasized that he died for our sins. That is, to redeem us and save us from our sins and their consequences. Then he goes on and he mentions very briefly the second thing. He said that Jesus died and was buried. He was buried. He was laid in the sepulcher. Everyone concerned acknowledged that he was truly and really dead. And then, number three, he rose again the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The Old Testament prophesied that after dying for the sins of the world, the Messiah would rise again the third day, and that Old Testament prophecy was exactly fulfilled in Jesus, who after dying and being laid in the tomb on the third day rose again from the dead in accordance with the Scriptures. And then the fourth thing is this. He was seen. He was seen. The resurrection of Jesus was not a hallucination foisted upon impressionable men. The resurrection of Jesus was not some kind of a theological fairy tale or myth that, even though it's not true, it seems to be comforting, so we tell the story. No. St. Paul, later on in this chapter, he tells us that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead bodily, exactly the way the Bible says so, then Christianity is a lie. It's a lie. He said, you're still in your sins and your faith is useless if Jesus did not rise from the dead. So the resurrection of Christ is utterly essential, because without it, we would not have the forgiveness of sins. We would not have the promise of life everlasting. All we'd have is fond memories of some guy who said a lot of nice things and then got himself killed. That's all we would have. But The one who died on the cross in accordance with the scripture, he rose again from the dead on the third day in accordance with the scripture, and now he was seen. Not by all people. Somebody once asked me, they said, Pastor, when Jesus rose from the dead, why didn't he walk into Jerusalem and go into the temple and show himself obviously alive and glorious to all the people? Because it was not God's will to do so. It is the will of God that people are brought to faith by the Holy Ghost through the preaching of the gospel. And so, the apostles and the other chosen eyewitnesses, they were the ones whose preaching and testimony formed the foundation of the church's proclamation of the good news. And one is brought to conversion. One's eyes are opened. Not because Jesus comes bursting into the room and says, hi, but because the Holy Ghost, acting upon our souls through the proclamation of the good news, he is the one who causes us to be born again, causes us to be enlightened, causes us to go from unbelief to faith. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and me. We have not seen Jesus. But by the Holy Ghost, in the gospel, faith has been implanted in our hearts, and the Lord sustains us in that faith. And so, he was seen. First he was seen by Peter. Then he was seen by the 12. Then he was seen by more than 500 people at once. Then he was seen by James. Then he was seen by all the apostles. And Paul says, and last of all, he was seen by me also as one who is born out of due time. So, it's important that we understand. He died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And then, he was seen by all of God's chosen witnesses, so that our faith is based on the Holy Ghost-inspired eyewitness testimony of the apostles, and what is written for us in the New Testament is what it enkindles our faith and sustains our faith in the Lord. So those are the facts of the gospel, the review of the content of the good news. If anyone doesn't believe that, they are still unconverted and lost in their sins. Now, how does this good news impact us? All right? Jesus did all these things 2,000 years ago. How does that impact us? Well, Paul says this. He says, number one, this gospel, this good news, was preached to you. And through the preaching of the good news, Christ himself has come to you with his grace. It was preached to you. You have heard the message. Then the second thing, he says, you received it. We receive the good news by believing it. You hear it and you believe it. That is, you put your trust in it. All right? So it was preached to you. Christ came to you in the preaching of the word, and then you responded to that advent by receiving this word in faith. The third thing is this. You now have a place to stand in the favor of God. Without Jesus, without the atoning blood of His sacrifice on the cross, without the redemption and salvation that He has purchased and won for us, we would stand before God's law naked and filled with guilt, with nothing to protect us, nothing to cover us. We would stand under the wrath of God. But because Jesus Christ has redeemed us, because the good news has promised us forgiveness, life, and salvation in Christ, we are now able to stand in the mercy and grace of God. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, St. Paul says this, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in the grace of God, not under His judgment, not under His wrath, not under the threat of His eternal punishment, but we stand under the mercy, grace, redemption, and salvation of God through Jesus Christ. And then, as if to put the cherry on top, St. Paul says, by which you are saved. By which you are saved. So the good news of what happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago, the good news was preached to you, and Christ came to you through that preaching. You received it in faith because the Holy Ghost granted you that faith. You received it in faith. Now, as a result of it, you stand in the grace and mercy of God, no longer accused by God's law, but welcomed into the kingdom of grace and into the kingdom of glory. And you are saved by the good news. The good news tells you what Jesus has done for you. You believe it, and you are saved in that wonderful message. All right, so now we've reviewed the facts of the good news, and we have reviewed how these facts impact us. Now, the third part of our text today, the application, if you will, is found in the second part of verse 2. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Basically, what Paul is saying here, hold fast to the good news. Hold fast to it. Don't be glib. Don't be casual. All right? Hold fast to the good news of Jesus Christ so that you don't end up having believed in vain. What does it mean to believe in vain? It means that you have come to faith only to fall away again, either into some form of false doctrine or to some kind of sin. All right? The way to believe in vain is to come to faith and then fall away from the faith and fall back into lies and sins. All right? So he says, hold fast to the good news. Now, some people think, as long as I just believe in Jesus, I can believe all the nonsense and lies of the world around me. And listen to me, I'm going to say it blunt because nobody else will tell you this, all right? Everything that the world says that contradicts this book is a lie from the devil. Even if the most angelic looking people tell it to you. Are you hearing me? All right, are you hearing me? Everything in this world that contradicts what God has said in the Bible is a lie from the devil, even though the cherubic sweet face of the person telling you that lie is ever so compelling and ever so sweet. All right? Thy word is truth, the Lord says. We may take our stand upon God's word and we will never be put to shame. You buy into the stupid lies of our modern culture. It's fake morality. It's political correctness. It's garbage ideologies. Put your faith in that stuff and you will end up ashamed. And you will end up disappointed, just like the devil crawling around getting dust in his mouth all of the time. And so it is with everyone who thinks that the lies of this world supersede the truth of the Word of God in the Bible. So, you know, but there are some Christians, you know, they're dainty folk. And they think, you know, well, I want to be a Christian and believe in Jesus. But I also want to be a left-wing progressive loon. I want to be a social justice warrior. I want to believe in choice. I want to believe in all those popular things so that all my friends will not look askance at me on Facebook. You know, that's the way it is today. So listen to me. One of the ways to end up believing in vain is to come to faith only to fall into the lies of the devil and end up backsliding and losing your salvation. And the other thing is this: sin. We live today in a world that not only is immersed in sinfulness, but it actually rejoices in sin. It rejoices in what God has clearly condemned. It calls evil good, and it calls good evil. And therefore, we live in this world, and now, you know, everybody, all these unbelieving people are suddenly turning their eyes upon us and saying, you people, you're not with the program. You're not going along to get along. Why, you people still believe in all that Bible stuff. We are going to censure you for that. And many Christian people are intimidated by this. They look at the world's scorn, the world's hatred. You know what St. Paul said? He says, what if some don't believe? Should their unbelief nullify the truth of God? No. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what Paul said about the truth of the world and people in the world without the Word of God thinking they know better. Listen, don't be intimidated by the world and don't feel that you need to go along with the morality of the world, which is nothing but immorality. It is immorality. Right? So, that's the second way to fall away from the faith, is to fall into sins. To think to yourself, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross in order to forgive me for my sins. So I'm going to give him plenty of opportunity to forgive me, because I'm going to keep sinning intentionally, even though I know better. All right? That's the way some people think. They think that it's their job to keep sinning and God's job to keep forgiving. They have somehow messed up someplace, and they have a terrible misunderstanding of what the grace of God is all about. Jesus' salvation is not permission to sin. Jesus' salvation is not permission to sin. So now, we have the facts of the gospel. We have how the gospel impacts us. And we are encouraged to hold fast so that we do not end up having believed in vain. The last thing I want to say this morning is Paul's testimony of himself. Paul tells us that he's not even worthy to be called an apostle, even though he is an apostle. He's not worthy to be called an apostle because, he says, I persecuted the church of God. So Paul was a notorious sinner. I mean, big time sin. Paul was a notorious sinner. But Paul was saved by grace through the gospel. He says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. He was a sinner. He was saved by grace through faith in Christ. And he says, and this grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. In other words, Paul was not among those who get started in the faith only to fall away into sin and false doctrine again. No, St. Paul was among those who labor abundantly in the grace of God and continue steadfast in the faith, holding on to the good news and receiving the end of his faith, the salvation of his soul. So, take heart with St. Paul. He was a notorious sinner who was saved by grace. This grace was not in vain. God led him into a fruitful, faithful life of service in the faith, so that when he died in the mercy and grace of Christ. And he spoke of his upcoming death as having fought the good fight and having finished the race. That's the way we are to think. And we think this not because we are so impressive, but because Jesus Christ has paid it all. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.